97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hello and welcome into another podcast exclusive of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with producer Chad Ellis and my partner Bo Matthews. Bo, how are you?
Doing great, man. Can't wait to get into this conversation.
Yeah. Joining us this week on the podcast exclusive is Missouri State Rep Nick Schroer. Newsmaker Nick has done a lot in his tenure in Jefferson City. One of the authors of the world famous, definitely national famous abortion bill here in the state of Missouri, and many other pieces of legislation that we have talked to Nick about over the years. And I want to talk, obviously, about it's an election year. We talked a little bit on the show this week. If you missed anything on the show, make sure you download that podcast as well. Had a great conversation about deer hunting with Tim Shelsvik. We also had a chance to talk with Representative Schroer a little bit on the air this week about the upcoming election and its impact on your Second Amendment rights and things like that. But I wanted to take this opportunity with State Rep Schroer as we have a little more time here. Some of you may know, some of you may not know, if you read the local papers, that Newsmaker Nick has been making all kinds of news here lately, and there's a push by the Democratic Party to remove you, Representative Schroer, from the ballot in November. Could you kind of explain to us, especially people who aren't completely filled in on this issue, exactly what this issue is and why the Democrats are targeting you right now?
Yeah, so it was in August. Thanks for having me on again. But it was back in August when my family got served with paperwork whereby my opponent, who basically hasn't done anything this election, has basically sat on her hands, doesn't have social media, doesn't have anything, hasn't raised a penny, so to speak, that we know of, filed a lawsuit against me, trying to kick me off the ballot because of a decision my family had to make in moving my wife and my daughters into a neighboring school district to get services for one of my children that was not able to be offered by my school district because my girls went to a private school in Francis Howell. So had a big statement on this right after it happened. A little bit of a backstory is, you know, like many parents with kids with education needs, you try to, after the diagnosis, you try to get on top of it, get treatment. Yeah. We did that last year. It was very successful. Went to New York. Once COVID hit, we were supposed to go back to New York again in August, which that all fell through. But in the interim, we had been working. The institute out in New York was working with the school district. Things were actually going really good. But once COVID hit and kind of shut things down from the institutes out there in New York and in here in our school district, we were trying to arrange for my daughter to get services by way of, you know, our taxpayer dollars going towards these types of
programs.
I guess experts. Yeah, yeah. And programs and experts. And it was just not available. We were told that we would have to move back. We would have to take our kids from the school that they're thriving in, successful in, and move them into a part-time rather than a full-time early learning program in the Fort Zumwalt School District. So We were hoping that we could go back to New York in August to continue this treatment, but when everything fell through, my family made a decision, and you know we sought counsel from a number of different individuals, prayed upon it. We knew that this was going to spark sort of controversy since I moved into a family friend's home, renting part of the home with them, and it's just gotten hectic.
So you had to, so in order to get your kids into the district that they need to be, and by the way, as and there's many parents, even parents that don't have kids that have certain issues or, you know, learning problems, you pick your home a lot of times as a parent on the schooling available to your kids, and you want to, you know, you look for what your whatever your personal preferences are as far as education is concerned, and you try to put your family in that area. And right. I have one of my kids is diagnosed with a learning issue as well, and so I know exactly what that's like. You know, yeah. Trying to make sure that you are located somewhere where they can get the help that they need. So basically, you had to move your wife and daughters into a different district to ensure that your daughter was able to, or your kids were able to get that those services. And then you retained yourself a residency. You are living in the district that you are representing, and the your opponent is saying that that's not the case. You're not living in the district, therefore you shouldn't be able to represent it. And they're trying to remove you from the ballot. Is that the too long didn't read version of the?
That is. That's absolutely okay, it. And, you know, in order for my daughter to get those services, they had to, at the school that she's in, rather than going to a different school, they had to be residents of the school district. So we made the decision. We knew the fight was going to come. We were in court on Wednesday of this week. And guess who else was there? It was our friends at the garbage pail post-disgrace. And what these imbeciles have done, not only given a bad name to journalism in and of itself, it's proven. And I don't care if you think Trump is great, if he's terrible, but what he has stated for the past couple of years on how the Democrats are working hand in hand with the garbage leftist media has been more true in this case. And we've seen from the time when my family got served this paperwork, which, by the way, I wasn't in my wife's home in Defiance. I was actually streets down from my residence in O'Fallon. What we saw is just right after my family was served the paperwork, we get a call from a terrible journalist, quote unquote, from the Post Disgrace. And they wanted my story immediately after I was served. They went into details that only the attorney would know. So that proves the point that they were working hand in hand. Then a couple weeks go by, and this, I think it was earlier this week, another story came out where after the harassment had occurred, the petition alleges that I actually don't live at the place in O'Fallon, but I'm rather living with my wife in Defiance. However, when some more facts came out when the case was rolling on, the attorney on the other side filed a complaint with the city of O'Fallon that I'm actually living there in O'Fallon and I'm violating the law by living there. So we had to jump through some hoops, and the scandals continue to occur as depositions, went by, proving that I was in compliance with the law, proving that I was living in O'Fallon. But those depositions were leaked, which I've never seen occur, and I am an attorney. I've never seen this occur, where the depositions are leaked to the media. The Post-Disgrace, picked tiny little portions of the depositions, not even full, complete sentences in some instances, to smear me, my good name, my family, and my family friends that opened their home to me to use as my own. So then we go on to the actual trial, and they did it again. So it's infuriating that they go by. You have good reporters, good journalists, good news anchors such as yourselves, and then you have these garbage pail kids working at the Post-Disgrace that give journalism a bad name by smearing good people and working for the Democrats as a mouthpiece for them, pushing their political points.
Bo, Nick Schroer does not apparently like the Post-Dispatch. I don't know if you've picked up on that, but
oh, is that who he was talking about?
You know what,
about?
Though? Can you blame somebody when they're attacking your family? I mean,
that was going to be my point. Yeah. Can you believe it's all boiled down to something that truly is about attacking your kid and your family and what you're trying to do for the best of them? It's just terribly sad how so many media outlets can get that narrative and use it for what they think is their advantage. Nick, how long have you been a state rep?
I was elected in 2016. I'm not politically correct whatsoever, so it was in the sweep of Donald Trump and Eric Greitens. Started serving in 2017 and passed many good pieces of legislation dealing with
I wanted to ask you about that.
Reform and others.
I wanted to ask you about that because, it's politics. Every seat matters. Power matters. The parties are always going to be trying to one-up somebody every chance they get. But this seems like on somebody's part, whether it be your opponent or the Missouri Democrats, it seems like it's personal. It seems like there's a little bit more to this. And I want to know why. Do you think it's because you have been a part of such big legislation like the abortion bill, which gained Missouri national media attention? Do you feel like some of the work you've done is part of the reason that they seem to have targeted you for this?
Without a doubt. You know, we've been dealing with things and getting things to the governor's desk, whether it's Governor Greitens, Governor Parson, getting them signed and acted into law. And oddly enough, the day after, I think it was September 24th, the day after we had court on my case, oral arguments on House Bill 126, the heartbeat bill, Missouri Stands for the Unborn Act, the one that's gained worldwide notoriety, oral arguments occurred on that, on a pretty good panel. I think two Republican-appointed judges, one Barack Obama-appointed judge. So we'll see here in the next couple of weeks if the initial preliminary injunctions are upheld. But without a doubt, you know, we're dealing with things that when you go to your family functions, you go, you know, to garages, when I go door-to-door and speak with Missourians in my district, I'm actually effectuating change and getting things done that they've wanted to get done for years, whether it's criminal justice reform, strengthening criminal penalties, attacking the useless Kim Gardner in St. Louis City, trying to actually find the murderers of the Black lives in the city of St. Louis, or the heartbeat bill. These are things that, you know, I don't know why, but haven't gotten done in years when we've had so many people, the citizens, we the people, asking for it to happen.
So we've only got
we've
only got a couple minutes left here. I want to make sure Bo gets questions in, and I have a couple more too, real quick. So go ahead, Bo.
Well, okay. So this is like the thinnest, most useless reason to come after you, right? And in the world of coronavirus pandemic, Nick, we're all working from, you know, remote studios or remote places. You can do your job if you're 10 miles away from your home. I mean, I don't understand the whole residency thing. I mean, I get it.
What are the rules, Nick, as far as that's concerned? So I know you looked into this before you made this decision to move your family and rent your own home in your district. What are the rules, and why do you think that or why are you sure that you're complying to that?
Well, the basic case law, whether it's you know, case law from decades ago or even one from 2010, I have to maintain a residence I have to be a resident for at least a year in the district I'm going to represent, and then maintain that residence throughout the time that I'm a state representative. I entered into this lease a day before we sold my other residence, and a lot of these cases rely heavily upon the intent to actually reside and use that as your home. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've done in this case. And with, you know, my daughter's schooling issues, that's the reason my family had to move out, not me, but I moved into a different location. Now, they're trying to hang their hat on two little pieces, two small pieces, which we proved as wrong in the court, but the post-disgrace failed to report that. One being a mortgage that we signed. I was a co-borrower. And following the application that's online, when you look at the instructions that's online, you have to fill it out. It states, check primary residence if you or the other borrower will be using this as their primary residence. Even though I indicated that's my knowledge of my limited real estate knowledge, that's how I thought that I was supposed to fill this thing out. No ill will intended whatsoever. The post-disgrace failed to report that and made it seem like I had no idea what I was signing. Another thing was a truck. And anybody who, you know, says that their wife is the boss, me included, she handles all the finances. So
right,
in the depositions,
me too.
In the depositions, which the post-disgrace had, and at trial, I indicated I wanted the bill to my truck. So, you know, I'm not going to fall behind to go to my wife's house. And I wanted to actually register my truck where it is now at my residence in O'Fallon.
Oh,
and they
try
to make a big deal about that as well. Things that you're not seeing, they're called facts. They're not being reported by the post-disgrace that has a left-wing garbage agenda.
So I don't know if it's a concern of the people that you represent. If it was me, if you're doing a great job and you're in the area, you know, that to me is the most important things. But there's a legitimate concern there, a legitimate question that, you know, here's a guy, young guy, young family, kids, in a big, nice house that's 20 minutes away from where he lives. Why would he drive away from that every single night? I'm sure there are people that think, okay, he just does that. He makes that residency there so he can be on the ballot, but he's actually going home, going to that house with his wife every single night and living there. What's your response to that criticism that has been levied?
Well, the thing that we have here is our districts are so small and compact with the massive population. It's only 20 minutes away, as you just explained. So I'm able, just like I will today, go get the girls, pick them up, play with them, feed them dinner at their house, put them to bed, and then go over to my residence, get some work done.
My goodness.
And that's as easy as can be. I mean, whether it's me heading to Jeff City, going to the farm, going out of town for different conferences, that's what my life has been for the past several years. That's what my family's used to. So only being 15 minutes, 20 minutes away, you know, I'm able to do all of my fatherly duties, my husbandly duties. I can come over on the weekends, help my wife with any projects that she needs. And to me, that's what a good father would do. A good father will go to war for their children, for their family. And that's maybe what society is deeming, that this is just so weird because we don't have men that are standing up to do the right thing anymore. I know you guys are, but I think the media portrays men as just kowtowing to, you know, sleeping around like Bill Clinton and doing other sinful things. Here we have me trying to do the right thing, not only by the law, but morally for my family, so my family can succeed and my children can have a better life than I had growing up.
Mm-hmm. Got one more for Nick, Bo, before we have to go?
I just want to tell you, man, I had a boss one time. My mom was on her deathbed and my boss said, "Your job comes first."
Mm. Wow.
Right after your family.
Ah, yeah.
He paused. He had that pregnant pause. I just wanted to thank you for doing the right thing and fighting for the right things. And I if you lived in another state, if your primary residence was, you know, Florida or what, I could understand it.
If you were doing
you're in the same you're in the same county, right?
If I was of the other party, this wouldn't matter to the post disgrace.
You know what? That's a great point.
Unfortunately,
I believe that. I believe that. So we're out of time here. Nick Schroer, as you've mentioned, this has been something that has been covered in the local media a lot. I know we're a couple weeks away from a decision one way or the other on whether or not you'll be able to stay on the ballot. I know you're very confident that you are going to be able to, but if you're able to, we'll have you back on again really soon to get an update on this story and get into some of the other things that you guys are working on there in Jeff City that affect all the people in the state of Missouri.
Tony, you know, I'm your Huckleberry.
How can people follow you on social media so they get the truth?
Go over to my website, nick4rep.com. It'll link you to my Twitter. I think it's at Nick B. Schroer. And a little other breaking news is in the next couple weeks, keep your eyes peeled to social media. We're going to have a huge rally, hopefully at the Family Arena in St. Charles County called Red, White, and Back the Blue.
Wow, very cool.
Nice.
Yeah, we'll definitely keep our eyes open for that. And when you're ready to announce all the details, we'll have you back on to do so.
Absolutely.
State Rep Nick Schroer, thanks for your time today, and we'll talk to you again soon. Good luck.
God bless you, gentlemen.
Back at you. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of the podcast exclusive of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. We'll see you back here same time next week. Have a good one.
Get more at 971talk.com.